From Black Powder Headquarters and the Bojangles Studio at Three Falls Cabin in the North Georgia Mountains, it's time for O'Neill Outside. For anything in the outdoors, this is your source. Listen in and call the show with your comments or questions. And now, here's O'Neill.
Good morning, boys and girls. Welcome to the program. 2 hours of outdoors headed your way. Live on a Saturday morning, the number one live outdoor-based radio talk show in the world, and we invite your participation. This program is brought to you by some wonderful folks, and I won't go through the whole list, but you know who they are, and we hope that you'll support their products, some excellent, excellent brands. Well, what are we going to do today? As usual, we'll have the radio prize package, quite a prize package. You have to put your brain in gear. It's a rather relatively simple question, but you'll have an opportunity to answer and win a prize package. We have the Southern Grind guest book questions, and let's see, what else will we do? We'll have the Medal of Honor tribute. We'll talk about turkey hunting, springtime fishing, and I have some questions for you, and I hope you'll participate. Telephone number for the show for around the Atlanta area or the Atlanta marketing, it's 404-872-0750. That's 404-872-0750. Or outside the Atlanta calling area and on the SB Nation nationwide from Maine to California, Seattle to Florida, on the SB Nation, the telephone number is 800-972-8255. 800-972-8255. I'd love to hear from you today, especially Florida. Hadn't been getting very many calls from Florida lately. Love to hear from you and see how the springtime fishing is. Probably already over down there. Love to hear that, and whether you're involving yourself now in hog hunting. It's extremely popular, and we hope that you're maybe do that. Lastly, then, too, a brand new little thing we'll try today. If you know about my book, O'Neill Outside, People and Places Along the Way, when we get back from this break, I'm going to take a couple of minutes and read you one of the chapters in that book. And you can locate that book at my website, along with many other things that we will mention. So, I hope you'll join me today on O'Neill Outside, People and Places Along the Way, that reading, and for us for 2 hours of outdoors. We have a lot of features, and I'd love to hear from you. This is O'Neill, and we'll be back.
She'd take Colorado if he'd take her with him. Closes the door.
Welcome back, everyone. We're going to take a moment. First of all, the telephone numbers for the show are 404-872-0750 or 800-972-8255. We're going to take a moment out of the following because, first of all, let me tell you that you can reach us on Facebook at O'Neill Outside, and beyond that, it's just me. And we're going to take a moment here and read a chapter in my book, and I'll show it to the television audience, the Facebook audience. It's People and Places Along the Way, O'Neill Outside. So I've had a lot of people suggest that, they wanted to hear about it before they bought one, which you can buy on Amazon. So here we go. Bear with me for a moment. It's 12 after the hour. Chapter 2. It was during my 19th summer that I decided it might be worthwhile to take my younger brother, 11 years old at the time, and my girlfriend of recent vintage out for an evening of fishing. I was an experienced fisherman. Not many guys were at that age, and I felt I needed to impress her with my knowledge and aptitude. Well, maybe I didn't think things through. Anyway, I had been catching some crappie around the docks at the Norris Lake near Lithonia, Georgia, close by. A short trip from 7 to midnight didn't seem too difficult. Knowing about the lake, the docks, and the general layout would serve us well, and we'd soon be located. We did locate a 14-foot aluminum boat at the community dock, and so with lanterns and gear in hand, off we went into the gathering darkness. Well, first of all, my brother lost the only paddle overboard, and it was never retrieved. So I scrounged a lengthy 2x4, 12 feet long, from the bank, and I rowed on kayak style toward a destination not yet realized. That necessary paddling style, unfortunately, wet the matches in my shirt pocket. That situation unfurled itself as we reached the designated dock. No matches for the lantern. Press on. We were there, so we'll fish anyway. Hands and feet scrambled in the darkness on the uneven planks, and my tackle box was kicked over into the water and floated away. I was just 18, so I was a little bit upset, but in any way, now, no light, no tackle, little resolve, so give up and live to fish another day. As I tied the stern line to the post at the dock after returning, I was assured by my date that the bow line was likewise secured. The lonely, only female on this little jaunt needed to go to the little girl's room. That's okay. You proceed, I will handle everything and unload the boat. Now alone, I placed the remaining gear on the dock and stepped out. Secured bow line? No. And I quickly did an acrobatic split and plunged into the dark water head first. My returning date noticed the soggy footprints on the pavement after I resurfaced, and then recall the part about the bow line. Teenage giggles mounted into infectious laughter as she surveyed the scene. We got to remember now, these two people were just 18 years old. There I stood, no glasses. They were lost during the impromptu dive. I was soaked to the bone, and my dignity dripping wet. Hardly the impressive conclusion I had envisioned. Anyway, we got through that evening, sense of humor finely tuned, knowing a great deal how we would react to and eventually overcome adversity. It was kind of a rehearsal, I guess, that first fishing trip. We're still paddling, that girl and I, sometimes ill-equipped, but always willing to go back and start over. With dedicated love and shared humor. We've been together now for 57 years and married almost for 54.
I'm a saint.
Yes, you are. That's a sample. This book, O'Neill Outside, is not a how-to. It's memories, reminiscences, people I've met, places I've been, and my observations of those people and places and the descriptions of the same. You can buy your own copy at Amazon.com. You can get an Audible pretty soon, an Audible, and I will read that book to you so you can listen in the truck. Or you can go to my website at O'NeillOutside.com, order the book there, and I will personally sign it for you if that's what you desire. So, there we are. Woman Williams is here. Early.
Earlier than usual.
Earlier than usual. That's right. Well, how are you sleeping, baby?
I'm sleeping good until the clock went off.
Boy, me too. Man, I had... We had our cooking segment production this week here at the cabin. It's Swaggerty's cooking segment, or Cooking with Swaggerty's. And that took preparation of, completion of, it took 2.5 days, and what a mess.
You have no idea.
But the recipes from Swaggerty's, all right, this is the one I wanted to pass along to you this morning. The very next, go buy, and they're all over the country, some Swaggerty's roll sausage. A chub, 1 pound chub of sausage. And use that the next time you are going to put hamburgers on the grill. Mix it 50-50, ground beef and Swaggerty's sausage.
I think we used ground sirloin.
Was it? Yeah, ground sirloin.
I think it was, yes.
That's the best. That's as good a hamburger as you could put in your mouth.
It was wonderful.
Ground sirloin it's not seasoned. Ground beef, it's not seasoned. Of course, you can do it yourself, but boy, that Swaggerty sausage is.
It is, and it makes it very moist.
Oh, man.
Those are some of the best hamburgers I've ever had.
Oh, absolutely. The Swaggerty's sausage and ground sirloin. Yes, ma'am.
We've done a version of that before, but there's just something really special. Maybe it was using the ground sirloin instead of hamburger.
Could be.
This time.
Could be. But I tell you what would be good, we didn't do it, was we should have used Swaggerty's all natural hot sausage.
You've got to put hot in everything.
Well, I know. I'm a hot guy. 19 after the hour.
Well, let me tell you this.
Yes.
You need to pass this one on.
Okay.
Brownies made with Swaggerty's sausage. And before you think about throwing up, which I did think about it when they told me we were going to fix it, you just can't imagine
Swaggerty's
what it does. They were wonderful. It was a little bit almost like a spice cake.
Mm-hmm. Swaggerty's sausage brownies with raisins
and nuts.
Walnuts.
Yeah, walnuts.
Walnuts and raisins and Swaggerty sausage in brownies.
In a caramel sauce to go over it. They were just
unbelievable. We ate it all.
Yes.
We ate it all.
There was none of that left.
Absolutely. It's almost 21 after the hour. Wade, you hold on. As soon as we get back from this break, I will take your call. The telephone numbers for you to be in touch with the show, you can be with us on Facebook with your questions or comments, or call O'Neill Outside at 404-872-0750, or outside the Atlanta calling area, it's 800-972-8255. I'd love to get a call from Florida. We hadn't had any calls from Florida lately. And I know we're all over the place down there via the SB Nation and WSB Radio. So take a moment. You don't have to say anything much, but give us a call just to say hello. We always appreciate the fact that the radio program gets all over 48 states and often into foreign countries via the Internet, iPad, iPhone, and all that sort of thing. So there you are. A lot of things to do this morning. We'll take the call from Wade when we get back, and the radio prize package will be headed your way. We'll be back. Welcome back. 25 after the hour. We're going to get to the calls now that we have a busy morning, but he's been holding on quite a while. Let's try for Wade. He's calling from Bowling Green, Kentucky. Good morning, Wade. Welcome to the program.
Morning, O'Neill. How you doing this morning, sir?
Wonderful, wonderful. How about you? Got a great weekend planned.
Good deal. Me too. I got a 3-day weekend this weekend. I'm off Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Oh, fabulous. Okay.
Got to tell you something happened yesterday. Got tickled at it. We went up to the local grocery store, which ain't that far. We took the back road right over here. And about a half mile from the house, there's a 90-degree turn right there. There's a big old field on the side. They had soybeans in it last year. Well, we was coming back from the store. Out there in the middle of the field, you can see about 100 yards off. I said, "Yeah, what is that out there in the middle of the field?" It's a big old thunder chicken in full strut out in the middle of a big old field. We slowed down, hit about 50 yards from the road. We got right up to him. We slowed down. I said, "Hey, stop. What? Stop him and see if I can give him the gobble." And I went, with my mouth, that joker went to town. But I was curious. There was a storm rolling up on him. And it had just started thundering when we left the grocery store. It was about a 7-8 minute ride. Now, I've heard they'll gobble at thunder. Have you ever heard
that? Gobble at thunder. One of the things that you might do if you stick your head out and call and he doesn't respond, one of the things you could do is blow your horn.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he'll gobble.
I've had people tell me they're getting out of the truck and shut the door and loud door and. He said, "Buddy, you wouldn't shut the door. Wasn't thinking about being quiet." Said one gobble not that far from him.
That's exactly right. Isn't that funny when you think about it? That if when a wild turkey, the eastern wild turkey especially, but when he's not in strut, he's really quite ugly. But when he goes into strut and fluffs up, he's beautiful.
That's the first time I've seen one like it. But in the middle of a field, about. Maybe an hour and a half before dark. Maybe 2 hours before dark. But I sent Norman Williams a thing on Facebook. My buddy's down there in Florida, and they went to eat I guess it was Thursday night. And coming back, somebody had run over about a 4-foot alligator. And my buddy, my buddy Rich is with him. His nickname is Jamaica. There's a picture on Facebook of him holding my woman Williams' name. I ain't going to say it on radio. Well, I said everybody's his buddy, Kyle Skinner, my good buddy Kyle. I fish with a lot. Mm-hmm. They down there working on the cabin in Florida. Put a new bed, turned the back porch into a bedroom, put another bathroom on it, and built a deck on it.
Well, y'all are really industrious. I'm proud of you.
Oh, it's beautiful. Down
proud
there. Got a
Wade,
good deal on it.
I'm glad to hear that. Listen, it's a good story. I appreciate you taking the time to call and for listening to the program. You have a great weekend, pal.
I appreciate it, Nelson. Listen to you. I'm watching you live. I like your coffee cup.
All right. Do you want me to leave you on?
Yeah, leave me on hold where I can listen to you. I'm watching you on podcast, but I hear you better on the phone.
Okay. I'll leave you on hold. There you are, pal. All right. We had asked for some callers from Florida. So, he's accommodating us very well. Let's talk to Alan. He's calling O'Neill outside from Tallahassee, Florida. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, O'Neill. How y'all doing, Miss Gail?
Hey, where are you headed this morning?
Bright and early.
Thank you very much.
Yes, indeed.
You talk about fishing. Down here, I haven't been in a couple of weeks, but, I mean, the bass fishing has been really well. I mean, all throughout North Florida.
Good.
But what I'm looking forward to is the brim season's fixing to start, where these big shellcracker brim that you can't get your hand around.
Oh, boy.
The May full moon, the June full moon, and the July full moon. I mean, you talk about having some fun now. It's catching these big old brim. But the bass fishing is still pretty good down here. I mean, that's even off the bank. I mean, I've got an app for most of the local area around here, and you see people on there all the time with some really nice fish they're catching even off the bank, you know.
You know, do you happen to know what the world record is for a bluegill?
No, not really, but I'm sure it can be a pretty good size.
It's over 5 pounds.
I can see that. I can see it. Because
I tell you what,
some of these shellcrackers out here, you have to put your foot on them to get your hook out because you can't even get your hand on them.
a shellcracker is a formidable critter. I don't know what the record is for shellcracker. I imagine it's up in the 7 or 8 pound range, and that's a real whopper, isn't it?
Yeah, and they're beautiful color too. They're copper. And, you know, got a little purple in them. And even the brim down here, I mean, are gorgeous, too. I mean, but that's what I'm looking forward to. You know, after bass fishing, now I go get my long 7-foot rod, you know, a medium light, put about 4-pound test line on it. And every time you catch one, it's like catching a 10-pound bass, you know.
It's a good thing brim don't get any bigger or they'd pull you in the water.
Well, the reason I was calling O'Neill, I've been, you know, watching some of the shows on TV, some of these guys fishing, and I noticed some of them fishing with colored line, like yellow, red, blue. Of course, braid is green. I know that. Is there a reason why you would fish with a colored line?
Well, in most cases that I've done before and fishermen I've been with, if they'll use a colored line, they can detect the strike visually.
Especially
if they're bass fishing, but usually they'll use a leader, but they can detect the strike visually.
Okay. Well, I was
wondering
why
a lot of saltwater guys use that.
Most of these guys, you know, I see some of them like Zorn and some of them guys fishing, you know, freshwater with it. You know, a lot of them are smallmouth mainly, but I mean, I see a lot of them using color line, but it's so they can see the line. Because mine, I usually detect with my fingers, you know. I can feel it with my fingers or, you know, in my palm of my hand. And then my last question is, like for a worm hook, a crankbait, or a spinnerbait, do you use the same knot? I use a polymer knot pretty much for everything.
I think you should use the knot that you have practiced on and can tie successfully correctly.
Okay.
A lot of great knots, but the one that you're used to tying so that you don't foul it up.
Well,
because a lot of these knots, well, I use what's called a quick knot.
Okay.
And I can't demo it, but I learned that something called a quick knot from Jim Bagley about 20 years ago when I had Bagley Baits as a sponsor. And it's really quickly and easily tied, and this is the reason I like that knot, is when you pull it tight and it's and if you've rolled the line or it's uneven or you've made a mistake, it'll break. If it doesn't break, then you've tied it correctly.
Okay.
And it very seldom ever happens, but that was always, to me, kind of a safety point. So if I hadn't been paying attention and I pulled the line tight, it would break. It's called a quick knot. I imagine there's a little book or you can find out on the internet about how to tie it. It's easily done. But, hey, that Palomar knot is a great knot. The Palomar knot may be the best.
That's all I've tied ever since I was a kid. You know, my dad taught me that knot a long time ago, and I mean, I use it on everything. But I see some of these guys, you know, when they like their crank baits, they use a different knot. Their spinner baits, they use a different knot. I don't know why, but
well, sometimes with a crank bait, people will tie what's called a loop knot. It's
right.
Kind of like having it's a loop to the. To the bait, which allows the bait a little bit more wiggle.
Well, I do. Use a loop. I use a loop knot for my little jigs when I'm crappie fishing. You know.
Well, there you are.
Yeah.
There you are. Just any knot's fine as long as you tie it correctly.
Yeah, that's the whole key, ain't it?
Yeah, because
a fish will show you it ain't tied right in real quick.
You betcha. You betcha. Hey, I'm glad to hear from you, sir.
All right. Good to see y'all, too. Good to hear you, Miss Gale.
I hope. Good deal. And I hope to hear from you next week, Wade. Pardon me, Alan. I'm sorry. Let me hear from you next week. I always love to hear from Florida folks.
All right, buddy. Appreciate it.
You bet. See you soon, pal. There we go. Let me see how to droop that. Then not working. Corey, you'll have to. There we go. All right. It's 35 after the hour. We have time, I believe, to get the radio prize package question out there. If we'll scoot right along. And here's Woman Williams.
Okay. If you'd like to win this week's prize package, all you have to do is be 18 years old or older and have not won a package in the last year.
Right.
I think that's right. Okay.
That's good.
And you can do this. You can win a bottle of O'Neill's Oils, a Bojangles gift card, a Swaggerty's voucher for some delicious products, Whitetail Institute DVD, Real Tree Hat and Decal Combo, Georgia DNR Regulations Magazine, Data Sport Fishing Game Forecaster, two cans of choice worms, Thunder Chicken by Captain Mark Noble, Thoroughgood Boots Hat, Arctic Ice Freezer Pack, and two packages of Bug Band and Wristband. And we really need them up here.
We use those freezer packs this week. They work great.
They did.
That's right. And here is your question. O'Neill has told you many, many times ad nauseum, what is my favorite color spinnerbait for springtime fishing? Any color's fine as long as it's... Give us a call, 404-872-0750 or 800-972-8255. The first caller with the correct answer wins the radio prize package. That's kind of nice. We give away a lot of stuff on the show, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Yeah, well, the sponsors give away a lot of stuff on the show.
That's important.
Give away anything. So, there you are. This is O'Neill outside. Stay right there. Call us with your correct answer, and we'll be back. 40 minutes after the hour, this is O'Neill outside, and we've been on the air for how long? 28 years now? Oh, my goodness. Well, we do have the answer to the radio prize package, so let's get to that right away, and we'll get that out of the way and enjoy your calls, and it's time for the Southern Grind Guestbook. So, the question was, over the years, I've told you over and over again, what is my favorite color spinnerbait? As in, let's talk to Joe. Where are you calling from, Joe?
We're calling from Alpharetta, Georgia.
Alpharetta. Okay, I'll let you finish the sentence. Ready?
Chartreuse.
Any color's fine.
That's right, as long as it's chartreuse.
That's right. Well, you could have only gotten that from listening to the radio program, and I appreciate that very, very much. And it turned out well today for you to get up early for whatever reason to listen to the show.
Well, I appreciate it. I listen almost every Saturday. We love to go fishing early in the morning, get that early bite in, and so that's why we're up this hour. And it's just like a lot of other people, I guess.
Good. Where are you headed this morning, sir?
We're going up to Lake Lanier here.
Yeah. Okay. Good for you. Do you fish the, let me ask you a question, do you fish the dock lights around on the lake?
I used to fish at night quite a bit, and but I haven't been out recently, and I keep hearing about all the dock mm-hmm. lights. That's on my to-do list, I'll tell you that right now.
Okay, good deal. That is a dependable strategy.
I know. I hear it up in all the posts on Facebook about it. It gets you fired out to go out there late at night and do that.
You betcha. All right, my good friend, it turned out well for you. Have we received all your information so we can send you the prize pack?
Yeah, we're good to go on that.
Good deal. Expect it in a couple of weeks, pal. Thank you for calling the show.
Thank you, O'Neill.
You bet. See you soon, I hope. There you are, and good luck today. Before we get to the Southern Grind Guestbook, let's go ahead and chat with Steve. He's calling from Gainesville, Georgia. And good morning, Steve. It's O'Neill with O'Neill Outside. Welcome.
Well, how you doing, O'Neill?
Good. We got to you fast, didn't we?
Yeah, I sure did. Well, I happened to be up
how about that?
Driving around. I got to get out this morning and do a little work, so I was listening like I normally do. My question is,
to hear from you.
We moved up here onto Lake Lanier, and we live right on the lake, and we've got all kinds of wildlife out here. We've had a little pack of turkeys in the backyard lately, but I count about 16 deer that live on our property. And we've got, sometimes they'll all be right up in the front yard eating all my wife's plants. And what I was trying to figure out is, we don't want to run them off because we sure like them, but is there something I can plant to feed them that will keep them away from the flowers and stuff like that? Is there something that deer don't like that I might want to plant up front so that they keep from eating the good stuff?
Well, Steve, if you plant something they don't like, then they're going to zero in on your flowers. But let me point you to somebody who has a wealth of knowledge that can probably help you with this. Ready? I want you to telephone the Whitetail Institute. Those are wild game seed people, and they are located in Alabama. And you will not speak to a computer. You will speak to a real live person, and he will entertain your question and probably give you many more options than I ever could. It's the Whitetail Institute, 688-3030.
All right. Well, thank you.
Say again. Yeah, you can't go wrong. They'll want to know where you live. What's the woody part? Are you in the woods? Are you in the pines? So on and so forth. They will give you lots of options that will apply to your questions.
Excellent.
So there you are.
I'll go ahead and give him a call. Thank you very much, sir. Could I ask you one quick other question? All right. Once again, we live on the lake, and my kids love going fishing, and I used to wear them out, but I can tell you I haven't caught a thing in the last couple of summers. And we go out and we troll around. We get down to the docks. I've put out the crappy light. What would be a good surefire way to keep my kids interested? What would I want to fish for out there? What can I use on the lake? I mean, up north we used to use corn and stuff. You're not allowed to do that.
I'm gonna give you two things to do around your dock. How deep is the water around your dock?
About 9-10 feet.
Okay. Do two things. I guarantee you that your dock will become a fish factory. Ready?
All right.
Go buy 2 bales of hay. Tie them to a concrete block and tie the concrete block back to the dock. Okay. Weight those things down out from around the dock. As all of that hay disintegrates, it sets up the whole food chain around your dock. The second thing is, see, and you, it helps with the food chain, but you won't get hung up on it. It's not like sinking a tree, which is illegal on Lake Lanier.
Yes, sir.
The second thing to do is get 2 big burlap bags, fill them up with a couple of bricks, and fill them up with dry dog food.
Okay.
Tie them to the dock and tie a good long rope to the dock and throw them out there around the dock. Not under the dock, but around the dock. You might put one underneath the dock, but that's okay. And as the dog food disintegrates, there'll be fish all over your dock.
All right.
But as it disintegrates, you will be able to pick up the bag and bring it back and refill it.
Excellent.
Now you've just created a fish factory around your dock.
All right, well, that's what I need, because I've been skunking them, and they think that the great white fish hunter over here is a dud. So I'm gonna enjoy that.
Well,
thank you.
It's going to work for you. Do it the next couple of weeks, and the summer, the fish around your dock will be loaded.
Awesome. Thanks, and man. They'll really appreciate it.
It works completely.
You bet. Right.
Give it a try and let me know how it goes.
Yes, sir. Have a great morning.
The only other thing I would tell you to do is to let your children help you do that and explain to them why it will work. Then they will have a story to tell about fishing when they go back to school or to their friends. How about that? Okay, there you go. Now let's. You got anything on Facebook over there, honey? No, everybody's asleep on Facebook this morning. 48 after the hour, 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255. It's time for the Southern Grind Guestbook, and you can leave a question, a comment, an observation at O'NeillOutside.com, right there on the homepage, and you will be able to leave your question. And I will answer it on the air. Here's a note from Randy Croy. He's in Moore, South Carolina. He asks, during the nesting period, does a wild turkey sit on her nest overnight or roost in a tree and then return to the nest in the morning? My experience, Randy, is that she incubates those eggs other than when she goes to get something to eat or get some water to drink, or if something drives her off the nest. She doesn't go back to the tree and leave the nest unguarded. She's incubating those nests. Let's see, from George Spencer in Albrightsville, Pennsylvania. I only get your website. You should be on the Outdoor Channel so I could watch you weekly. We're not on the Outdoor Channel, George. We are on the Pursuit Network, and if you have the Dish Network or DirecTV, you can watch the show. It's on there, and, of course, you can go to my website, watch all the shows at my website under television, O'NeillOutside.net/television, or you can watch it on YouTube. From Steve Dixon, let's see, my timing is good. Steve Dixon in Winter Park, Florida. It's the best show on TV. I call it the Learning Show. My question is there a way to tell the sex of a channel catfish? Not by the shape, but a male will have one vent between his anal fins, and you'll see a little tag there, and that's how he dispenses his sperm. a female catfish will have two vents or holes next to her pelvic fins. See what you learned today? Isn't that wonderful?
I'm amazed. I was wondering how you were going to explain that.
Okay. It's 50 minutes after the hour. From Walter Metz. I hope you come back on TV. I really like your show. You're down to earth about everything. I'm doing my best, pal. Let us know in Pennsylvania if you plan on coming back on. It's on the Pursuit Channel. I'm sorry it's hard to get, but go to my website. You can watch all the shows there without commercials. Okay. Rudy Holloway from Fort Valley, Georgia. He says he really likes to show spots in nature and says that we do a wonderful job showcasing Georgia's hunting and fishing. Thank you very much for the compliment. Okay, from James Little in Monroe, North Carolina. Enjoy your shows. He says he would love a knife. You can buy one. What is your primary key to bait color when bass fishing? If I'm using a crankbait or a spinnerbait or something of that nature, I try to match the color of the primary bait fish. If I'm using a plastic worm, I match the color to the stain level of the water, like this. Stained water, dark day, cloudy, dark bait. Bright color, clear water, clear color or light colored bait. So there's your spinnerbait, your crankbaits, and those are those colors, and it's determined by the light penetration in the water. Dark day, dark bait. Light day, light bait. Have I got time for one more? Okay, from Holly Hill, Florida, Paul Schrader. I enjoy your show and the different places you visit. Can you recommend, I can't read, the best way to store and freeze fresh caught fish? Put them in a plastic bag with water. Freeze them in water in the bag. You agree?
I'll go along with that.
Okay. Yeah, freeze them in the water. Don't just put them in a bag because they'll freeze or burn. Okay, I got to get out of here. This is O'Neill Outside, 404-872-0750, 800-972-8255. And we will entertain your calls upon our return. This is O'Neill along with Woman Williams and a full-time crew. They don't get paid, but they sure have a lot of fun. We'll be back. Well, we're having fun here. I hope you are by listening to the program. We've got a couple of calls we need to round up here. Number one is Philip calling from Dacula, Georgia. What a great name for a place. Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, O'Neill. How you doing, buddy?
Wonderful, wonderful. You got a good weekend planned?
I actually don't, man. I'm working all this weekend. But my question is, I have a couple of friends that are down in Argentina right now, and they are on one of these high-volume dove shoots.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever done that?
I have not. I have not, but I only hear good things about the activity.
Oh, wow. I would have figured you, of all people, have been down there probably three times, man. We've been trying to get this together for a couple of years.
Uh-huh. No, I've never been, and one of the reasons that I think that has kept me from doing that, my rifle sponsor over the last 25 years is CVA muzzleloaders.
Okay.
You don't hunt doves with a muzzleloader.
Oh, no, you certainly do not.
So I don't have a shotgun that I need to showcase.
Okay, and, so you don't bird shoot for pleasure then?
No, I do not. Okay. Not in a long I do a little dove hunting, but not. I quail hunt, and that's a shotgun, but I do that mostly when it's someone's won a prize or they've made a contribution to some charity.
I have tried to win several of those muzzleloaders. I'm familiar with what you're talking about. Then a question I have that you probably can help me with. I am about to take a small vacation, about a week and a half, to Florida on the Gulf side. I actually had all of my fishing gear and tackle stolen recently. And I just wanted your opinion on something I could fish with, like, right off the beach. Not too, like, not too expensive, not too crazy, like, advanced, but just your recommendation for something maybe small enough that I can bring back and still use when I'm finished. That make sense?
That's tough, because what you're going to use, if you're going to fish off the beach or a pier?
Probably a little bit of both, mainly the beach.
Okay. I'm running out of time, pal. I got a hard break coming up. If you don't mind, I'm going to put you on hold.
That's fine.
And hold, and we'll get to that question, but it'll be a few minutes. This is O'Neill. We'll be back for the second hour of O'Neill Outside.
WSBB-FM Doraville, a Cox...
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.